Hello, brothers and sisters. Hope you guys are having a good weekend, enjoying the family. Any of you guys are in the path of the storm? I know I'm in Louisiana and we're getting a little rain, and certain parts are getting hit hard. I just hope everybody's safe. You know, spiritual warfare to me is one of those neglected topics that you don't really hear preached on much today. I've heard it maybe preached maybe twice at my church, and it seems to be really neglected. And to me it's very important to understand what spiritual warfare is. And that's kind of what I'm going to talk about today. I like to go to 1 Peter 5 and 8. That's 1 Peter 5, 8, 8 verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as Satan, as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, today, Lord, that who's ever out there listening to this, Lord, that wherever they may be going through, what kind of battle they're fighting, if it's a depression, anxiety, drugs, pornography, a loss in the family, financial burden from a house getting lost, or I pray, Lord, that you just be with them and give them strength to endure what they're going through. Lord, I pray that you be with your humble servant here, Jesus, as I speak on spiritual warfare. Lord, I pray as I speak that you speak through me, whoever may be listening, Lord, that you just let them get something out of this message, because if they do, it's not me, Lord, it's you. I pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Our passage today was 1 Peter 5:8. To me, today's church, this era, they really don't talk about spiritual warfare, and it saddens my heart, because our enemy, Satan, is unleashed. You know, looking over spiritual warfare, I came up with this definition that I would like to share with you guys. It is spiritual warfare as a close examination of the individual battles that believers face every day, that clearly indicates a war all around us that we cannot see, but we can see through physical consequences in this world. I know you look around and you see people walking into churches and shooting people in the churches. You see a increase in school shootings. These are physical events that a lot of people will look at it and say, well, violent video games. Oh, well, they weren't raised the way they were supposed to be raised. But yeah, that does contribute to a level of it. But really, what is underneath that surface? And that is Satan and his demonic forces that are influencing this world. Could we know this world is his? God created it, but it's been corrupted. And this definition, spiritual warfare, is these battles that we face every day, of a war that's been raging for a long, long time. when we look at spiritual warfare and the battles, we need to understand what this war is composed of. And we really need to break down several concepts here. And the first one I want to talk about is a natural and a spiritual world. You know, when we look at a natural world, this is something visible, it's tangible. We can see it. It's people we interact with. We can grab a book and feel that book. It's tangible. You know, when we sit in a chair, we can see the chair. When we go to our brothers and sisters, when we talk to them, we can see them. We can physically touch them. We can interact with them. We see them with our eyes. That's our natural world. Our spiritual world is something totally different. When we look at our spiritual world, we need to understand that there's forces about us that we really can't visibly see. But they're all around us. When you look at the spiritual world, it's posed of two kingdoms. That is evil and goodness. Are evil or good? There's angels about us. And there's demons about us. And they're waging a war. And we're in between this war. And we're fighting every day. If we are not even aware of it, we're fighting it every day. You see, Satan wants to destroy us. He wants to bring everybody he can to hell. That is his sole mission, is to take as many people to hell as he can. And that, to me, that's sad. You know, if you really think about how many people have lost their lives, this physical life, and they are now in hell for eternity. You know, there's a lot that are there now. You know, and that really breaks my heart tremendously. And this scripture, you think of a lion, and you know, I watch a lot of Animal Kingdom stuff, Animal Planet and stuff, and you watch, you know, the hunt where the lion's hunting a some lower prey, and he stalks him. He hides in the grass. His coat is made to blend in, and he just creeps up on it. And then out of nowhere, you know, that poor animal don't even see it coming. And when we look at these scriptures, you know, he's a roaring lion. He is seeking who he can devour, and to devour is a strong word here. You know, that tells me that he wants to destroy everything about that person. If they're not a child of God, he's going to do everything to keep them from the truth. If you are a child of God, he wants to destroy your works that you have out there. He tries to push you in a corner. He bounds you by things in this life that you're not effective for the kingdom of God. And sadly, he has achieved that through fear, to anxiety, to depression. He keeps us restrained from doing the works that Lord needs us to do. He is a real enemy. He's not this cartoon character that Hollywood wants to portray as a, you know, funny. He ain't a lovable. Wants to be your friend. He is out to destroy you. He is pure evil. In John 10:10, we're told that he's a thief. That he wants to steal, kill, and to destroy you. I mean, he wants to take everything from you. You know, this war isn't new. We really can go back to the Garden of Eden, where the devil was able to twist the words of God to deceive Adam and Eve, and eating the forbidden fruit. This led to the fall of man. You know, Adam and Eve, they had this beautiful garden. All their needs were met. They didn't have nothing to lose. But when they took that forbidden fruit, this beautiful creation was corrupted, and sin entered this world. I want to tell you, I believe Adam and Eve were very smart people. But Satan was able to deceive them greatly. With this, we need to keep in mind, Satan is very smart. He's been doing this for a while. He hates God, and he hates his people. So if you're a child of God, Satan hates you. He wants to devour you. He wants to eat you. He wants to destroy everything about you. Many of our churches are in trouble. They want to be deceived. When you start preaching the truth about Satan and his demonic forces, they just cringe and they don't want to talk about it. But then they can come home and watch a show on television, that a horror movie or something, and embrace it. I want to tell you, the spiritual war is real, and it's composed of spiritual battles every day. But there is good news out there. You see, Satan may be smart. He may be powerful. But I want to tell you, the God that we serve is more powerful than Satan. You know, we're told in 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children. You have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Meaning, what we have inside of us, when we become a child of God, is greater than any force out there. Meaning, we're letting the devil use us. We're letting the devil influence us, because the power that we have inside of us, it trumps the evil. We restrain it. We, through everything that separates us from God. You know, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, for though we walk in flesh, we do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that is, worldly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. Our God is more powerful than Satan and all his forces in this world that is warring against us. Taking this in account, that there are forces about us, good and evil, angels and demons, and we're and every day we wake up and we walk out the doors, we are fighting. We may not choose to recognize it, but the fight will still go on. It will. You are still part of it. You have no option. You can be neutral in your mind, but you're not neutral when you step out from a spiritual point of view. If you choose not to fight, you have chose your side. It's not God's. You have chose Satan's side. And if that don't grieve your heart, you're not a child of God. Don't be deceived. You are not. I know many pastors will sugarcoat this gospel. And when you leave the doors out Sunday, you leave your Christianity at the church. And most people know better. But that don't grieve you? I'm sorry. You're not saved. You're not a child of God. Quit pretending. You know, God has given us this free gift of salvation. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's part of the strength that we have when we enter into battle. Becoming a child of God, being a child of light. I don't know if you would turn all the lights out in our room and it's pitch black, and you spark a match, or you turn a lamp on, the dark flees from it. That's the power that lives in us. And that's what keeps us stable. When we become a child of God, is only through Jesus Christ. God sent his Son to die for our sins. That is our present, past, and future. And through that, recognizing what he did on that cross, the Calvary, and recognizing that he didn't stay on the cross, and when they put him in the tomb, he didn't stay in the tomb, and he rose, and he was seen by many. Knowing that, accepting that, believing that, confessing that, allows you to become a child of God. But don't stop there. That's only one part of salvation. The other part is the growth. Now you are a soldier in the army of God. Now you are a disciple. You are going to enter this battle. You are entering this war as a child of God now, and when you do that, the devil's going to come at you full force. And because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and a lot of times we may grieve the Holy Spirit for not sitting aside all the things that distracts us from the fight, such as reading our Bible. The Word of God is a very powerful weapon. When we look at Ephesians 6, it speaks of the sword, the Word of God. I was looking at a website, Lifeway, which is pretty big, company, Christian company, and I was looking at a research study, and it found only 45% of those who regularly attend church read the Bible more than once a week. Over 40% of the people attending read their Bible occasionally, maybe once or twice a month. Almost one in five churchgoers say they never read the Bible, essentially the same number who read it every day. This is sad. Our nation. We have Bibles everywhere. I have probably about five or six in my office. Average person probably has two or three. But it sits there and it collects dust. You know, you start trying to study the Word of God and you get distracted. Something comes up. I'm telling you, when you're studying the Word and something comes up, if it's not life-threatening, if it can't be set aside till later, finish reading your Bible. It's a defensive method that we can use. It's defensive and offensive. I mean, we can defend ourselves when we're being attacked. And we can counter offensive to attack, to gain ground for Jesus. You know, it's easy to lose sight of that. The attacks that we face, I know me personally, every day can be intense. And I get that, you know, I really do. And I speak from more experience than I've really care to, but that experience just drives my heart deeper and drives my soul deeper into studying the Word of God and looking at the apostles and what they went through and how they were still able to be happy within all the persecution and death around them. You know, that amazes me. The Word of God is a very powerful tool that we should use. It's a very powerful weapon that we should use every day. We should be looking at our Bible. We should be looking at scriptures. We should be wanting to know more. You know, the other thing that a lot of people neglect is prayer. Prayer is powerful. It's a direct communication to God. He's always listening. He longs to hear from His children. When we're going through these battles, I don't know if it's addiction, I don't know if it's anxiety, I don't know if it's suicidal, I don't know if you're having financial issues, a divorce, abandonment. Prayer. You know, when you look at Jesus, He prayed all the time. And Jesus was, He was powerful. He prayed on everything from choosing the disciples all the way up to His crucifixion when He was on the cross. He prayed for us as we sit there and laughed and mocked at Him as He bled for our sins. He prayed. Through His life, He gave an example of how we should live our life prayerfully. And on top of that, He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us, He lives. He lives inside of us. You know, I was reading something the other day, and I was there. The question was, would you rather walk with Jesus? Or would you rather have Him inside you? You know, and I'm like, I really thought of it. I'm like, I want Him inside me. He does live inside you. I want Him to be part of me. I want to be part of Him. is with our Bibles, with prayer, with the Holy Spirit residing in us, we have all the tools we need to counter the devil and his enemy. Even though he is a roaring lion, he is seeking who he may devour. I want to tell you, we can counter. He will flee. But we have to acknowledge first, we are in a war. We have battles that we have to fight every day. And we can't do it on our own. Only Jesus Christ that lives with inside of us can. And through prayer and through reading our Bible, studying the scriptures every day, that we can counter anything the devil will throw at us. You know, the main point of this sermon is to recognize that we're at war. Satan, his demons, they hate us. He wants to destroy us. But God wants us to be sober and vigilant, that is aware. And by doing that is through studying the Word of God, through praying daily, and recognizing that we are a child of God. I know the definition I gave at the beginning of this sermon. I like to share it one more time with you guys. I don't know who's listening to this. If you're a pastor, if you are an evangelist or whatever, you know, take it, use it. I am nobody, just a humble vessel for Jesus. I want to leave you guys with this definition. Spiritual warfare as a close examination of the individual battles that believers face every day. That clearly indicates a war all around us that we cannot see, but we can see through physical consequences in this world. Thanks for listening to me. I hope you guys have a blessed weekend. Look forward to speaking with y'all next weekend. Bye.